Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome once again to another edition of the FootballDieHards.com podcast. My name is Skip Lacombe. A little late, having some computer issues, had to run home to get on the podcast today, but joining me as he does every Wednesday for the waiver day is Michael Jones. Mike, how we doing?
Fantastic, Skip. Got a lot of work to do this week, a lot of teams on bye, so we're going to see if we can dig out of the waiver wire this week for sure.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, like I said, my computer even crashed. We lost 2 minutes on the show as I'm running home, but let's get right to it. Want to ask you real quickly about your thoughts over the past weekend, though. Who really surprised you this past weekend?
Well, I mean, I pretty much told everybody to, bet all their money on the Oakland Raiders to beat the Philadelphia Eagles this week. I think that was a stone-cold lock that I had, pretty much, of course, that sarcasm in its highest form. That was, without a doubt, the biggest shock this week was that the Oakland Raiders were able to defeat the Philadelphia Eagles. And a lot of it comes down, it just goes to show how, perilous even the best of teams are and how much these games are really decided in the trenches, because it was the Eagles lost Jason Peters, their star left tackle. They signed from the Bills this offseason, lost him early in the first quarter. And they just basically lost all confidence in trying to put together their running game, facing the 30th-ranked run defense in the league, and they ran the ball 14 times. And so that was it. It just goes to show you that so many times, just kind of broach a slightly different subject, that so many times head coaches take the blame for everything. And, like Zorn in Washington or Geron in Buffalo. And the fact is, if you lose key members of your team, especially along the offensive line, it really doesn't get noticed by the lay NFL fan. But those injuries are devastating to a team's cohesiveness and their ability to run their offense. And the same thing goes for the defense. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers just lost Aaron Smith for the year. Who knows who Aaron Smith is? Well, the fact is, he's probably the key member of that 3-4 defense who holds down that corner and allows the pass rush to get through so effectively. So with that being said, it just, it's interesting to really learn more and more about the NFL and see how fragile these teams are. And you see that Denver is 6-0. Denver has not had a key injury yet. And when the Giants won the Super Bowl a couple years back, the thing that they had, they didn't miss one snap among the offensive line. So team health is what is so key to success and failure in the NFL.
And touching back on the Philly-Oakland game, do you think that was more of a loss for the Eagles or more of a win for the Raiders?
It was both. I mean, sometimes you can say, I'm serious about that. You can say, between the Jets and the Bills this past week, the Jets lost that game. The Bills really didn't do anything to win it. The Jets really lost that game. And, again, there's another factor. Jericho Cotchery is injured. He that offense just totally falls apart. And so, but in this case, I think it was the Raiders really wanted this one. They had heard everybody talking smack about them all week long. They were a junior high varsity scrimmage team, and that they were weren't really playing, they were just basically a bye week win. And there's a player on that team named Richard Seymour who's won 3 Super Bowls. And he has a lot of pride, and you can bet that he was not taking that talk from Antonio Pierce, too well. And he got that team fired up, and he led by example. He had 2 sacks, and that whole team just came out and got really physical. They were playing at home. The Eagles were, having to make the big trip to the West Coast. And the fact is, the Raiders do that every year. They go down to absolutely the depths of the depths, and some team travels from the East Coast, whether it's the Jets or this way the Eagles, and the Raiders rise up and win a game. And so we'll see how they go. They have the same kind of scenario this week with the Jets coming to town. So this will be a really interesting test for the Raiders this week.
All right, well, we got a busy waiver wire today because we do have 6 teams on byes. Bye teams this week are Denver, Detroit, Tennessee, Seattle, Jacksonville, and Baltimore. Getting started at the quarterback position, players who aren't going to be available, players like Orton, players like Hasselbeck, Gerard, Flacco. Who can you think you might be able to pick up in a bind this week?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely not the week to go and try to set your lineup on, you know, Sunday morning and find out that half your team is on bye. You know, it's not too bad at the quarterback position, but there are definitely, you know, especially, you know, some of the big-name wide receivers and a lot of, you know, some pretty key running backs are sure out this week. And as far as the waiver wire goes right now, you know, a lot of players who are on the waiver wire are there for a reason. You know, there's a reason that nobody in your league is wanting to pick these players up for the most part. Every once in a while, a couple players will pop out and due to injuries or something. We have, one or two cases of that. But there's usually a pretty good reason these players are on your waiver wire. And if you go in most decent leagues with, 12 teams, you know, it's tough picking out there, but the player that I think that at least I don't know if he's going to be on your waiver wire, but a player that if he's out there, pick him up, makes for a good start going forward. And if you have him, just know you can have some pretty good confidence placing him in, and that's Matt Cassel for Kansas City. They're going to be facing San Diego. San Diego coming off a short week this week, where they had, played a very physical game against Denver, a very emotional game, where they definitely came up short. Now they're going to play in Kansas City. Kansas City coming off a win, so they're going to have some momentum coming home. The fans are at least going to be pretty excited that they did have a win, and the Chargers are allowing 269 yards passing on the road. And so Matt Cassel, it looks like it's going to be a fairly decent start for him this week. Same with Dwayne Bowe and going forward. And Dwayne Bowe coming off a week where he had 14 targets, and so he's becoming definitely Matt Cassel's number one weapon there in Kansas City. And so Matt Cassel is definitely a start this week. If you can get him off the waiver wire, more power to you. Another player kind of in that same vein, who had a coming off a good week, coming off a bye, but the week before had a very nice game against the Jets with Chad Henne. You know, he completed 76.9% of his passes against, an excellent Jets secondary, threw for 241 yards and two touchdowns. And so this week he gets New Orleans. New Orleans has obviously shown that they are a defense to be reckoned with. But this is going to be a very interesting situation for the New Orleans team as a whole. They're going to be going to Miami. I know it gets very humid in New Orleans during the summer, but this is, they haven't been outside, playing outside in quite a while. It should be super humid in Miami. And I can guarantee you that those groundkeepers are going to be growing that grass high all week long to try to slow down New Orleans. And the fact is Miami is going to come at them with that really funky kind of wildcat formations, and it should open some things up. And I'm really going to be excited to see how New Orleans fares against Miami this week.
Yeah, I actually really like that call, Chad Henne. I think that Miami has a very good chance to knock off New Orleans this game because, they're playing in that dome. They don't typically have to deal with these kind of conditions.
And the other thing that's real good about Chad Henne is if you look at the fantasy playoffs, which are usually weeks 14 through 16, excellent matchups against Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Houston, three of the more porous pass defenses in the league.
All right. Any other quarterbacks out there if Henne or Cassel aren't available?
There really isn't too much out there that I can, with good conscience recommend. If you're looking at just putting in some backups out there, hopefully you've drafted and you're somewhat prepared and you've got something that you can put in there. But, again, the player that I've been talking about for a couple of weeks, Brian Hoyer, the rookie out of Michigan State, got to get some playing time this last week in the blowout against the Tennessee Titans for New England, and had a very nice game, 9-11 passing, and actually ran for a touchdown. So, good looking out for him. And then David Carr, who stepped in the blowout for the Giants this last week at the hands of the New Orleans Saints, and he's shown up in the last two games, 13 for 19 for 162 yards. At 37 yards scored to Hakeem Nicks, who's really starting to make his mark known in every game. And then everybody's talking about the Tennessee Titans. There's no doubt in my mind that they have to make a change at the quarterback position. And that player they're going to put in there is Vince Young after the bye week. And the thing about Vince Young that's obviously brings us some value is his ability to run. And so his rookie year, he ran for 552 yards, had seven rushing touchdowns, and they need that kind of spark. And hopefully for the sake of the Tennessee Titans, he can bring some of that rookie magic back to the field.
Yeah, Tennessee certainly needs it. Now we need to get into a little more of the meat of the waiver wire. There's a lot of running backs who may be on your roster are not going to be available, guys like Sean Moreno. We got Kevin Smith out, Chris Johnson, Mojo Drew, Ray Rice. Who can you pick up in a bind?
Yeah, that's a heck of a collection of running backs, some of the best running backs in the game right now going. And the name
of running backs.
Yeah, so you're dead, you know, you're probably going to be missing one of your running backs this week. There's probably a good chance of it anyway. And, you know, you're going to have to beat a heavy path to the waiver wire to try to get Lawrence Maroney. And he came off a great game this last week against Tennessee, 123 yards rushing, 3 receptions, rushing touchdown. And they're traveling to London, England this week. It's going to be kind of an interesting trip to see how these players adapt to, you know, a pretty severe time change. There's going to be a culture shock involved. And so I'm going to be interested to see how this game turns out. It could be fairly lower scoring than a lot of people think. It's a non-division game, but the fact is that Tampa Bay is just abysmal against the run, especially on the road. We're allowing 203.7 yards rushing, and so it should be pretty interesting to see how the New England Patriots are able to attack Tampa Bay, and I would have to imagine that they're going to want to just control the clock, try to save some wear and tear on Tom Brady and company, and just really lean on the running game here.
All right. Anybody else other than Moroni?
Well, Justin Fargus stepped up last week. He obviously became the feature back for the Raiders this last week with 23 carries. And, Tom Cable came out and said that this is a kid that I trust. I like to put the ball in his hands. He had success with them last year. They face, traditionally a pretty tough Jets defense this year. In the past, they have been known to give up a lot of rushing yards, and they did just lose Chris Jenkins. So Justin Fargus is a name that's out there. It'd be interesting to see how they keep this running back split going, if Michael Bush is going to be able to step up and take any of the production away from Justin Fargus. And then another name out there, which is, you know, a little bit more long-term, especially with the team on bye, but it's Javon Ringer, you know, one of the greatest Big Ten rushers of all time out of Michigan State also. And Chris Johnson is not the most durable back in the universe. He plays kind of on the edges, and if he gets a high ankle sprain or a foot issue or any kind of little ding, it looks like, I would have to imagine, Javon Ringer is going to be the player that they step in and put into the feature back role. So Javon Ringer is definitely a name out there that you need to be aware of. And the same goes with Garrett Wolf for Chicago. He's also stepped up the depth chart with Adrian Peterson, the Chicago running back, being out. And he's a Darren Sproles type of weapon, just a really dynamic running back, was one of the leading all-purpose running backs in the history of NCAA at Northern Illinois, which is the same college that spawned Mr. Michael Turner. So they have a great tradition of bringing good running backs to the NFL. And Garrett Wolf, if you saw him play this past week, he played with a lot of spark, has a lot of life in his legs, and can make some people miss. And if he got the opportunity, if Matt Forte, his knee or his feet went out on him, or if he keeps fumbling numerous times at the goal line, they may take a look at starting Garrett Wolf in Chicago.
Yeah, and I've actually heard him, Kurt. I see on your waiver wire, too, you're comparing him to a Darren Sproles type weapon. That's not the first time I've heard those two compared, so that actually may be a pretty good pickup for you down the line as well. Wanting to move on now to the wide receivers, also have a ton of big names out this week, so get on your waivers early. You're going to need to be fighting for some of these guys. The guys out this week, Brendan Marshall, Calvin Johnson, Uzun Zada, Burleson, Mike Sims-Walker, Mason, the list goes on and on. Who might be out there that can pick you up in a week this week, Mike?
Well, the big name that is shocked me and is being inserted right into the starting lineup is Michael Crabtree for San Francisco. I don't think anybody in their wildest imagination saw that as soon as Michael Crabtree was going to be available, they were going to put him in right in the first game he's available. That's somewhat of a homecoming for Michael Crabtree from the Texas area there, and from the Houston vicinity anyway, played at Texas Tech. And so it should be interesting to see, how they utilize him. All the reports coming out of San Francisco say he's, looked spectacular at times in practice. And obviously they wouldn't put him in the starting lineup if they didn't think he could make a significant contribution. And And Josh Morgan is being a great teammate, saying, "Yeah, they're giving him my spot." I thought that was a pretty interesting quote for him to make, and which told me that he's probably not really super pleased about that. But you don't pick a guy 10th overall in the draft not to get him in the lineup and have him start producing. I had a chat with Gil Brandt before the season started, not one-on-one, but he was a group chat, but he did answer the question I asked him, which was what NFL player is most ready to contribute right away? It was one of the kind of a draft chat questions, and he said that Michael Crabtree. He said undoubtedly it would be the number one guy that would be ready to contribute right from the get-go for the NFL team that drafts him, which obviously ended up being San Francisco. So Michael Crabtree, a lot of upside, and it's, nothing wrong with going out and picking him up. Obviously, San Francisco not known for being a passing team, but Michael Crabtree with great hands, good power.
That could certainly change that. That could certainly change that.
Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes. And another name that's out there who's a lot of owners kind of gave up on was Lance Moore, and he surprised a lot of people by showing up against the Giants this last week. Had about seven catches and had a great game. Caught everything across the middle that was there, and obviously had a touchdown also. And so Lance Moore will be part of that attack going to Miami, which is, like I said, it's going to be a really intriguing matchup. And I think everybody's going to be jumping on trying to get Lance Moore this week. And Sidney Rice, if he's out there, he's become the go-to receiver in Minnesota. Seven targets this past week, which led the team. Six catches, just a huge game for him, over 170 yards receiving. And so if there's any way to get Sidney Rice, or if he's out there on a waiver wire in kind of a shallow league, you definitely want to pick him up. And the last name we'll throw out there is Sammy Stroder. Tampa Bay is sort of a struggling offense. There's no doubt about that. And it's hard to say, you know, what Sammy Stroder is going to do going forward. But they've had such issues with their the wide receiver opposite Antonio Bryant. Michael Clayton is disappointed. Maurice Stovall can't stay healthy. And so Sammy Stroder has shown in the preseason, he's shown in training camp, and he showed this last week that he's a playmaker. He put the ball in his hands, and he showed it in Oregon State. He showed, you put the ball in Sammy Stroder's hands, and he's going to make something happen with it. And he could end up being a very nice surprise going forward with a young quarterback like Josh Johnson, or they probably will end up replacing Josh Johnson with Josh Freeman. And even so, that young connection could end up making Sammy Stroder a nice pickup here going forward.
All right, I also see kind of a long shot in Keenan Burton on there. Donnie Avery re-injured his hip, and they will be going against Indy, who's pretty good against the pass, but if Donnie Avery isn't able to play, Keenan Burton will be the number one receiver, right?
Well, I've come off that just a little bit with the news that Philadelphia has traded, or the Rams got, Brandon Gibson, who was an excellent wide receiver at Washington State in the Pac-10, and they got him from Philadelphia. And there's a crossover correlation in the offensive systems from Philadelphia to St. Louis, and they expect very high things from Brandon Gibson. And so I'm kind of reevaluating the St. Louis situation now with this news. Gibson is he's a burner. He's got great speed, great body control, catches the ball very well. He was one of the leading receivers in the Pac-10 last year. And so I'm going to be really interested to see if this report is true that they're going to bring in Brandon Gibson and they're going to be grooming him to be a significant member of the St. Louis wide receiving core.
All right, now moving on to the tight ends. Who out there might still be hanging around that you might be able to pick up to get you through in a tight end buy bind this week?
Yeah, some good tight ends on buy because there's good tight ends everywhere. So hopefully you're not going to be in too much of a bind this week. But let's say if John Carlson is your number one wide tight end, you don't really feel comfortable with who you have backing him up. Sean Ryan for Kansas City is going to provide a great matchup facing San Diego. And San Diego just cannot stop the tight end position right now. Zach Miller burned them week one. Todd Heap scored a touchdown against them. Heath Miller scored two touchdowns against them. And this last week we saw Tony Scheffler score a touchdown and have over 100 yards receiving against them. And Sean Ryan has been one of the main targets for Matt Castle in the Kansas City offense and playing playing at home. I think that Sean Ryan is going to get a bulk of targets and opportunities. He's had some success whenever they've thrown the ball. He's caught it and had production, and I'm sure they have not missed how well tight ends have done against San Diego this year.
Yeah, a lot of good tight ends pretty much on every team right now. So if you do have a bye, just pretty much pick a team, pick a tight end. He should be at least serviceable for you, right?
Well, yeah. But here you're debating taking advantage of an excellent matchup with Sean Ryan.
All right. Also moving on to a place kicker. We got Baronis, we got Mayer, we got Scobie out this week. Who might you be able to pick up in a bind?
I guess I like Kansas City this week for some reason. I mean, I should probably go bet on him or something. But Ryan Succop had a great game this last week. He was against Washington. He kicked four field goals, and he's most famously known as being the 2009 draft Mr. Irrelevant, four-year kicker at South Carolina, where he made a lot of pressure kicks in the SEC. So he knows how to kick in a big venue in a big time, and he was one of the leaders of that team in South Carolina. And so he made two kicks from 46 yards against Washington, at Washington, on the road. That tells me a lot about this kid. And I got to imagine growing up with a name like Succop that he had to be a pretty tough kid growing up, so, or at least have a pretty thick skin. So he can be facing San Diego this week, and I think that Kansas City can be able to move the ball just enough to get him within range pretty much all game long. He's 3 for 3 this season from kicks of 40 yards or longer, 9 for 10 overall with a long of 53. So I think Ryan Succop could be an excellent bye week fill-in this week.
All right, and the defensive matchup you obviously like is Indy-St. Louis versus St. Louis. Indy just doesn't match up in any – or I'm sorry, St. Louis just does not match up with Indy in any aspect of the game. Talk a little bit about Indianapolis' matchup this week.
Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. I don't think it needs to be explained too much, but, you know, and I doubt that Indianapolis is out on a lot of waiver wires, but it's definitely someone that, if they are, you want to pick them up. If you've got them, you want to make sure you start them, and I don't think that's exactly brain surgery to say that. But overall, you know, another matchup that you can look at is Buffalo playing Carolina, and Carolina gives up a lot of sacks. There's a lot of interceptions. Buffalo intercepted Mark Sanchez 5 times this last week, and so the only problem there with Buffalo, though those opportunities are there, is a pretty good chance that Carolina may only throw 3 passes the whole game and run the ball just for the entire game. So, but you know, given the pass to Carolina and Jake Delhomme, they give up a lot of fantasy points to opposing defense special teams.
Well, what about our listeners who may be in an IDP league?
Well, the guy on top of my list is Paul Posluszny, and we talked. I had him written up last week as a player you wanted to go out and get. He was coming off the injury, broken arm. He's just a tough Penn State linebacker, one of the greatest collegiate linebackers of all time. And he got back 2 weeks early of what he was projected to do. Had 9 tackles this past week with game-saving, game-winning interception. And so this week we just talked about it, Buffalo facing Carolina. And you basically, you know, just to make a long story short, if there's a Buffalo defender out on your waiver wire, you want to go pick him up and start him this week, because Carolina is going to probably run the ball. They ran the ball last week against Tampa Bay 47 times, or they had 47 touches to the running back position. And this week, I don't see any reason the Carolina is not going to run the ball, control the clock for about 40 minutes against Buffalo, and that every single Buffalo IDP prospect is going to come away with big tackle numbers this week.
See, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, I've been asked this all week long, and what do you really think is the biggest surprise right now of this season? Is it the fact that Tennessee is 0-6, the fact that Denver is 6-0?
I think it's that Tennessee is 0-6. I mean, I don't think anybody saw a team that a lot of people predicted, you know, to be a Super Bowl contender this year, especially after how well they performed last year. They were the number one seed, weren't they, in the AFC last year? And so I don't think anybody in their wildest imagination saw them falling as far as they have. But again, those injuries that people, you know, don't really understand about, the Titans secondary has just been decimated by injuries. They have nobody who can play in the secondary who's left. And so, I mean, every single one of their key secondary players has been injured. And so that's why they're just getting absolutely destroyed. And so that's the, you know, again, Denver, no key injuries, 6-0, had the ball bounce their way once or twice. And Tennessee, 0-6, had the ball not bounce their way a few times and had tons of key injuries, and that's exactly how it happens in the NFL.
See, I take a little different take in that, in the fact that all the off-field issues that the Broncos had going into this season with getting rid of their coach, losing their Pro Bowl quarterback, the Brandon Marshall, no, all the issues they've had in the off-season,
Jay
coming out, yeah, Jay Cutler, and who's the receiver I'm forgetting?
Well, Brandon Marshall. Who had all the attitude issues, yeah.
And, I mean, well, and with his issues with the hip, I mean, I don't think anybody really expected this team to rally behind Josh McDaniels the way that they have, but they've gone out and really impressed and played some really good football, and that's been my biggest surprise.
Well, I'll tell you,
the Charger fan in me.
They may not have rallied around Josh McDaniel, but I'll tell you who they have rallied around, and it's Brian Dawkins. And Brian Dawkins came into that locker room, and he and Mike Nolan came in, and when Brian Dawkins and Mike Nolan got on the same page together, they rallied that team behind him, and they have not given up a point in the fourth quarter this year. And once Brian Dawkins bought into what Mike Nolan was selling and got everybody on that defense behind him, that is where the team has taken the next step up. Josh McDaniels has had the experience with New England, know where to put his fingers and know where to put his fingerprints on the team. But it's that Brian Dawkins signing that has been one of the most key free agent signings in the NFL this year.
Also, too, want to quickly mention a couple other quick things. Anquan Boldin may be uncertain heading into this week, and his ankle is still an issue. Any thoughts on that? Any news on that?
Great news for Steve Reston owners.
Absolutely. Also want to quickly mention Jay Cutler did agree to a 2-year extension, which will keep him in Chicago until the 2013 season. Any quick thoughts on that?
Great news for Bears fans, no doubt about it. He's a great leader of that football team, and I think he's the right person in the right city.
Two, finally, it looks like Marion Barber will still start despite his fractured thumb. Also, too, we want to be sure to keep you guys checking the website, footballdiehards.com. As you guys get closer to Sunday, to go ahead and check the flash update and make sure that players may be hurt, aren't hurt, and you can make adjustments if you need to. Mike, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, just keep attacking. Even if you're 5-1, 4-2, 6-0, this is not the time to get fat and happy. Go out there, really look at your teams. Make sure if there's people who are at the bottom of your league, go and try to take one of their best players from them and take advantage of them. They're probably ready to panic and jump at this point. And just it's not the time to rest.
Well, that's all you need to know. Well, we're nearing the halfway point in the season. Me and Bob Harris will be back on the footballdiehards.com podcast again on Friday. We'll go ahead and break down a little bit of all of the games heading up and letting you know about all of the entries that you need to know about. But until then, keep checking the website. Flash update will go live again tonight, so be sure to check that out. And until Friday, we'll be back with the footballdiehards.com podcast.